Well, that's quite a prayer. You know, filling this hallowed hour, it's you that we seek. Listen to this from Psalm 107. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, and his love endures forever. Now, that's the reiterative phrase in Psalm 136, 26 times. But here's the shortened version. Let the redeemed of the Lord, let the people of God say this. Those he redeemed from the hand of the foe, those he gathered from the lands, from east and west, from north and south. And then it talks about, watch this. Some wandered in desert wastelands, finding no way to a city where they could settle. They were hungry and thirsty, and their lives ebbed away. And then, this is a reiterative phrase, then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He led them by a straight way to a city where they could settle. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love. And then he talks, look at verse 10. Some folks sat in darkness and deepest gloom, prisoners, suffering as if they were in iron chains. And they stumbled. There was no one to help. And then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them from their distress. He brought them out of darkness and the deepest gloom, and he broke away their chains. They cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them from their distress. Then he goes on, and I'm going to jump on to verse 23. Others, they went out to the sea in ships. They were merchants on the mighty waters. They saw the works of the Lord, his wonderful deeds in the deep. And then they were lifted high on the waves. They mounted up to the heavens. Imagine the ship. And went down to the depths. And in their peril, their courage melted away. They reeled and they staggered like drunken men. They were at their wit's end. And then, what then? Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he brought them out of their distress, stilled the storm, the waves of the sea were hushed, and he guided them to their desire, their safe haven. Four sets of people. Four kinds of issues. People on their life journey, and they need a guide. People who are facing life situations. Didn't make sense. How do I get out of this? And they need some kind of freedom and relief. And then there were others. Life was seeing one battle after another. And there they are, caught in life's conflicts. Who can help me? And then they cried to the Lord, and he brought renewal and blessing. And then there was this group, passengers on the ship of life, sailing. Where's the safe harbor? Where's the journey going to end? Are we going to go down into the depths of the ocean and be lost forever? And they needed to sail safely home. And you know, when you come to church, and when you sit where you are sitting, and when you listen to the Word of God, if you are facing any of those life situations, this book will speak to you, or there will be a part of a hymn or a verse, or there'll be something in a prayer, or it could be somebody just puts their hand and their arm on your shoulder and says something to you, and you were crying to the Lord, and he brings you the answer. I want to share that thought with you this morning, and take you on. It's a long psalm. I've cut it to, and the other one, as I say, is 136. Let's wait for it. It usually starts like this. Do you remember when? Do you remember when Alison fell out of her trolley? Do you remember when we baptized Linda over there and made a mess on the floor? It starts like that, doesn't it? Do you remember when we got home because the car had broken down and we had all sorts of kind? Remember? And you start tick, 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 tick. And the whole host of things are clicking away there. And that's what Psalm 136 was doing. The psalmist was leading the congregation in remembering. It was group worship, if you like. And they were remembering. They were recalling some of the most amazing things in the history of the way God had been dealing with his people. And they make a list. You created heaven and earth. You rescued the nation from slavery when we were in bondage in Egypt, and you led us out through the Red Sea. And we had those 40 years in the wilderness. You were protecting us then. And it goes on. And he wants to say, don't ever, ever forget this. God is good. So give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. So when I read that, I started to say, Lord, what have you been doing in my life? And I invite you to do that. To start thinking through some of the amazing things that God has done for you. Remember them. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, and his mercy endures forever. And here we are with these portraits in Psalm 107. And every one of them expresses a mood, a feeling, if you like, a real situation that they had to deal with and encounter, which is the kind of thing that happens to us. And all the psalmist says, when things in life happen to you, you have one resort. Then they cried to the Lord. Now, before I get into the reflections of the scripture, I want to tell you a story I picked up from Chuck Colson. He was the guy who was put to prison, you know, with the Nixon issue and so on. But in there, he found God, and he runs the prison fellowship and so on. But in his book, you know, he calls it Prison Fellowship. He tells the story of a pastor. And he's finishing his sermon notes in his office at the church. And there's a knock. And there's three ragged boys outside. He came from a home that was ravaged by drugs and prostitution. And they asked the pastor, we've never been to church before. Could we see what it looks like? And he gave them a 10-minute run around the church to see what it was like and an explanation of what happened. One of the boys, the oldest of the three boys, said this, can people come to church without, or if their socks don't match? And the pastor says, of course, Jackie. You see? Well, what about if you don't have any socks? Still the same answer. You can come. And the pastor reassured them, that's okay. And then the oldest boy said, well, that's good, because my socks don't match, and my brother hasn't got any. And they came to church. They were warmly welcomed. The church had already been given. That's how the boys had come looking for the place in the beginning. I wanted to tell you, we've set a marker here, wealthy or poor, old or young, policeman or ex-convict, handicapped or the world's finest athlete, there are no barriers, there are no restrictions. The gospel and the church is open to anyone and everyone. Maybe our worship isn't the most vibrant and it's not the greatest, and you haven't got the best administration. That doesn't matter. I want to tell you, what we value, what I value, is people and not programs. When you are on life's journey, when you are a pilgrim, when you are wandering in the wilderness in a solitary way, do you know what? God wants to guide you. The NIV called it the wastelands, finding no way to the city. That's very perplexing. Wondering. It's the notion of people who don't know where they're going. They've lost track. They can't find the way. It was a wilderness or a burning sand and a desert. And they've tried here and they've tried there, this way and that way, up and down, and it's always ended in nothing. Don't you hear our contemporary society pictured, mirror imaged in this? Do we really know where we're going? Do the politicians really know the way? And they had no city. They were utterly exhausted. They had no rest, no peace. The words tumble out one after another. And then it sums it up. It says they were craving. They had unsatisfied cravings, painful needs, forebodings. And they were hungry and they were thirsty and the food had run out. Everything was wrong. Where could they go? And they cried out to the Lord. And he wants to underline, does the psalmist, you and I are pilgrims. Whether we admit it or not, we're travelers. We're making a journey through this life, through this world. And it may be Monday, it may be Wednesday, it may have been last Friday. And we don't know what's happening. And we don't know our way. And we hear and we read and we look at the kind of things that are happening. All I know is this. I'm in on a road, and every one of you have been on the same road. And it runs right through the idealism of the child, of the youth. And then the realism that comes when you've got to work for a living. And then you get the marriage, and then you set up the home, and you find all those issues, and sometimes it's very mundane. And oftentimes, life is very wearying. You get tired. That's reality. And you go right the way through middle age to where most of us here this morning are, where the sun is setting, where we're coming to old age with all the issues that will bring. And the psalmist says, 70 years, and if by reason of your strength 80 and more, some a lot shorter than that, fewer a bit longer. And that's the journey. And we're pilgrims on the journey. And we come to crossroads. And things happen like they've happened through the pandemic, and they seem purposeless and they seemed empty and they seem futile. We wondered, where are we going? And there's frustration and there's cynicism and there's resentment and there's even rebellion. That's the whole issue of the activists. They're rebelling about the journey that they're on. And you have no opinion. They're always right, totally and absolutely right, and we're always wrong. And that's where we're living. And what do you do? What do you do? Well, in that kind of scenario, you need a guide. you need to know this, because it's as personal as this. They cried unto the Lord. I have come after all these years of ministry to see this. It is only the Lord who can give meaning to life and purpose and direction. That without his control, it is like going in circles, aimlessly. And what did he do here for these pilgrims? He led them by a straight way, out of the maze. And at last they had somewhere and something to make purpose and reality in their lives. He led them to a city where they could settle. And the travelers became residents. They had a place that they call home. We're going to sing it on Tuesday. You've sung it here twice with me, once with Sylvia present. All the way, my Savior leads me. What have I to ask beside? When you cry to the Lord, we who are nothing more than pilgrims journeying in life, we need a guide, we need a helper. And do you remember Philip? When I was looking at the scriptures, I suddenly thought of Philip going down to Samaria. He got the instructions. He's in the middle of a crusade, and a lot of blessing is happening. And God says to him, would you go down to the Gaza Road? You read the full story in Acts chapter 8. And here's the phrase that got me. And so he started out. So he started out. And that's it. Do you want to know why society as it is? There are an awful lot of people who have never started. They've never been inside a church. They've never found out that God can lead them and bless them and guide them and direct it. Just make sure that you started out and that we keep on going down the road wherever God is leading us. And why did I choose that last hymn, Turn Your Eyes? Because it's a person who's leading the way. You have a look at Jesus. He'll give you. You cry out to him, he'll be there for you. In whatever the scenario, let me hurry on. You know, what about these people who felt they were prisoners because of what life was doing to those life situations? And there's very imaginative picture of a prisoner chained up in the dungeons. It was a really remarkable illustration for the Jewish people, because that's exactly what they had been. They had been prisoners in Egypt. They had been and were prisoners in Babylon. They were slaves. They were exiles. And I see something that's a contemporary scenario here. You see, what does prison do to you? It restricts you. There are restrictions. And I look around in our kind of world. People tell me we're agnostic. But I see them hemmed in by convention and conformity and peer pressure. The experimenting in art and in literature, in morals, in behavior, they don't even realize they're prisoners to a system. They've been manipulated into a way of meaningless existence. And that can happen to us too. We can be paralyzed by doubt and by fear and by unbelief. We can be distressed, devastated by discouragement, by things that are happening, by the expectations that we place in people and in each other, and then they don't work out. And how can I find an answer to that? Well, they cried out to the Lord. And where there had been restrictions, there was release. He brought them out of the darkest, the desert, the deepest darkness, and he broke their chains. I stand here to preach this one message, that if the Son of God, Jesus, sets you free, you are free indeed. Wesley put it like this: my chains fell off, my heart was free, I rose up and followed thee. You see, we don't have to be in bondage to the value system of our contemporary world. We can break out, we can, because of Jesus. And he can break every chain that holds us, and the resentments and the jealousies and the fear and the perilous way people are living their lives, whether they're film stars or footballers or whatever. Release. Release. And all you have to do is start living God's way. Number three, people who've got problems. We're a problem. What? Why? Because of what was happening in their life. And the image here is somebody who was sick, had a fever, maybe a plague or an illness. They loathed the food. They tossed in their bed. They wished for the morning to come. They were hoping against hope for some kind of relief. And there's a phrase here, rebellious ways. So they suffer affliction through their iniquities. I think of the way sin holds a man. I think of problem people. I think of problems to do with health, with families, with finance. It's going to be more and more and more. And why at the base and the bottom of it? That's okay, Sean. And we've tried removing the problem with education. It was Tony Blair, education, education, education. We have social concepts that are flawed. We have humanism. Who were the characters, the scientific guys leading the lockdown with a humanistic approach? None of that will yield until you go to the Savior. Sin will hold you, but the Savior will help you. He sent his word and healed him. Only a word, that there is an answer. What am I reading in my book, in the Bible? Jesus is the word. And he walked in the quiet of the garden. And then the word was made flesh and dwelt among us. I got a question. I asked myself the question. What word do you need to send to me, Lord, this morning? I ask him that every day. What do you need to say to me today that'll help me get through today? What word do you need to speak that will bring forgiveness and peace and life and joy and an empowering and an enabling and an encouraging? Lord, what word do you need to speak? Have you already spoken into your heart, into your life? And here's the last one. When people were there, passengers on that ship, and there's the storms, the hazardous storms. I don't have to stop and ask you. You know about the storms of life. Every one of you. Every one of you. Somewhere or other, you've experienced the storms. And you wondered, will the ship sink? What about it? You felt the intensity of the winds blowing into your life. It says here, they reeled and they staggered like drunken men. And then was this phrase, and they were at their wits' end. You've been there? I know you've been there. I'm your pastor. And you've seen me go into that storm. So you're at your wits' end. Where do we get out? How do we get out? How can this frail ship, this frail life of mine, make it? They cry to the Lord. And there's a word about the safe harbour, how he stilled the storm to a whisper, how they were glad when there was a calm. But the best thing of it all, there was the desired haven. I prepare a place for you. If it were not so, I would have told you. I would have told you. But I didn't have to tell you that there was no place for you. Because you know, when you trusted me, you turned from the darkness to the light, from despair to find faith and hope. And I have a place for you. It's got your name on the door. It's only yours. No one else can have it. You've got one for me too. Because of Jesus, the safe haven, there's a place for you. And I want to come all the way back from all four points to this one. I want you to know, if you've never really thought about it before, here's a place. This church, it's a place for you. You can sit in the same seat or you can move any seat you like. But for here, whenever, however, whatever, you can come to church without your socks or with colored socks or in whatever way, because there's a place. There's a place where the conflicts of life and the pressures and the storms and the confusion and the chaos, where together we can cry to the Lord and he'll hear us and he'll take you through whatever it is that you're going through. He's got a place in heaven. And I want to tell you, the church here has a place for you now. And any time you care to come, in any condition that you care to come.